Serious TV Drama Podcast. I'm Scott, and joining me once again, well, she's neither a fish nor a mollusk. She's a lady. She's Jamie. Hey, Jamie.
Hey, Scott. I'm glad I could step out of this 2D world and get to sit down and talk about this crazy-ass episode.
Yeah, you know, you think we had all the crazy with the previous episode, but no, there was more. Certainly. We are back to talk to you guys out there, the podcast listening faithful, about the latest episode of The Boys. It's the penultimate episode, in fact, of season 3, the poetically titled, Here Comes a Candle to Light You to Bed. So we're going to get to it right now. Now, I've actually hacked up the episode and redistributed the parts like a serial killer chopping up a body and disposing of limbs across the city. So I'm trying to consolidate the story so we can follow one or more characters through their respective storylines. You know, of course, the outlier is Annie, who seems to pop up all over the place like the little busy bee that she always is. And this episode, pretty much like this podcast, starts with a brief mention of Starlight, and it's on that Cameron Coleman show, which is continuing to tradition this season, where the first scene always seems to be something that's on TV or some sort of viewing screen, a TV show, a movie, a clip, whatever. So we have Ashley basically discrediting Annie.
Yeah, it could be treason.
It could be treason. I loved it because we have Ashley suddenly becoming, wow, is Ashley auditioning to be the next press secretary for somebody? Because that's what I was getting, those kind of feels from that, and not the emotional feels. Like, ew. Anyway.
The yucks. You got a good case of the yucks.
Yeah. So she's been kind of. I think she's very much been enjoying being the total bitch she's been so far this season, when she isn't cowering from Homelander, of course. And it's also funny to think of, wait, wasn't there an episode a few weeks ago where she did some dirty stuff with the Tucker Carlson wannabe over here?
Yeah. Yeah, with a highly decorated piece.
Oh, the one This is the season of dildos, that's right.
Yep.
Dildos and strap-ons and so on and
you
so
bet.
Forth.
Quite nearly every episode.
Yeah, pretty much. It could have been like the subtitle for the season or whatever that phrase is. Anyway, let's switch to what probably takes up, I'd say, the lion's share of this episode, and that's the entire Huey Butcher Soldier Boy, that road. And you can also kind of, I think if you think about it while you're watching this episode, and maybe you think back to what we've seen already, you start seeing some odd little parallels between all three of these characters as we move along. So that, I think that'll probably come up as we're talking about them. So we start out, apparently Huey, Butcher, and Soldier Boy, the three guys I just mentioned, they've been hiding out at the Legends place. I love that we got the legend back.
Yes.
I actually went and read a story about the whole casting of Paul Reiser as the legend and how he initially turned it down. And I think it's his son was an actual fan of the comics and kind of convinced him to do it. And he had some issues with it and the whole, because obviously a lot of it is basically a takeoff on the legendary Hollywood dude, Robert Evans. Oh, by the way, if you're ever watching, go back and watch Bob Odenkirk on Mr. Show. There's a couple times he does a clear spot on parody of Robert Evans. And here's more trivia, which I could have waited for a different podcast. That was one of the characters Odenkirk did that became one of the few that he kind of fused together to come up with Saul Goodman. See, look how I brought that all around. Amazing.
Very nice.
Gonna pat myself on the back for that shit. But anyway, so Reiser, because Reiser doesn't usually speak the way he does in the show.
No.
You know. No. It might not be quite on the same level, but it's almost like getting Jerry Seinfeld to curse.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yep.
So, we do find out through the legendary storytelling here just how awful a person Soldier Boy has always been. You know, In fact, the whole he's a hero thing. He stormed the beaches at Normandy, and legend goes, yeah, he showed up at Normandy a couple weeks later for a photo op and stuff. And I was like, wow, he even goes all the way back then. And you start realizing that that's we're talking the 1940s. That means the whole idea of making superheroes more corporate and with marketing and making money than anything that's truly noble or heroic pretty much must have started with Soldier Boy. Like, which, and it's funny because you don't think about that, but it kind of makes sense because that's also the beginning of, you know, when you see forms of commercials and propaganda, whatever. Of course they would do that with something like
Soldier Boy.
Makes perfect. And it reminded me again, because obviously he's supposed to be a takeoff on Captain America. For folks who either they're familiar with the comics or, you know, better still, if you're familiar with the first Captain America movie, a lot of what they were doing, Captain America was supposed to be a device to kind of like sell war bonds and was more of a commercial item that ended up becoming a hero after. Soldier Boy's just been that the whole time, except, you know, maybe it's just a little bit more power. Apparently also, but the one thing I wasn't expecting in this little scene here. So we know Soldier Boy has been around for a while. You know, he's been alive since the 40s, right? So apparently he's got a thing for, he'd prefer being with considerably older women.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, yay for you, dude. But apparently these are also the women that are on like the Legend staff.
Oh, they're the fine wine line had me going for a couple days.
But I just, there was part of me that was like, you know what? It kind of makes sense from the way he's talking, and if, you know, there's something for everyone out there. You know, I've seen those rooms on Chatter. Anyway, so
everybody has a special interest.
There you go. Oh, by the way, since I just heard one, we are recording this 4th of July weekend. We're doing this actually in the wee hours, July 2nd, or now it's technically July 3rd because we started recording after midnight. Now, I don't know how it is in some of the neighborhoods y'all live out in out there, but apparently here in New York City, so the last day or so, and it'll continue well through Monday and probably keep going, there will be explosions at all hours. Just, you know, if it's not a place to live if you're a dog or if you just have, you know, explosive sensitivity or explosive bowels, whatever. Anyway.
Well, as you can imagine, down here in Missouri, people do like to light things up. So it's loud from 7 in the morning until midnight at curfew. All the way through the 4th.
See, that makes perfect. I mean, I'm sorry to say this, but it makes perfect sense to me. I just doing it here in, like, you know, densely populated urban areas. It seems like it's wrong. And by the way, it's not. It is supposed to be illegal, but I've never heard of anyone getting busted for it ever. I have seen. I remember back in the day. Like driving with friends, and you have to be careful. And that's like, oh, let's get off this avenue, because there would be a literal giant bonfire in the middle of a 4-lane street, and stuff shooting out of it everywhere. And we're like, and I was like, what is wrong with people? I don't understand this. You know, I mean, I get the colorful stuff. All right, I get it. But the stuff that just goes, just big boom. Come on, grow the fuck up. Anyway, so back to the show. So well. They're supposed to be looking for Mindstorm, one of the latest member on Soldier Boy's hit list from Payback. And initially, Butcher doesn't have a lead to go by, But Huey realizes, after hearing that he was bipolar, that he would be on a prescription of lithium. And that's not as common a prescription. Yeah. Although I kept thinking, is it really not that common? I don't know. I'll take your word for it, Huey. It works for the story. But it's that very prescription that could be the key to narrowing down where his location would be. Now, somehow, I kind of thought it was kind of funny. So they went from that. Okay, so you're thinking, oh, a prescription at a pharmacy, whatever. And somehow, I guess they figured out there's a pharmacy that was near the woods somewhere. Which I'm like going, how close could that pharmacy possibly be? Wouldn't that pharmacy be like, you know, 100 miles, whatever? It's like a Unabomber joint or something. I don't know. But they're
maybe he gets his prescriptions by mail.
That would make, you know what? That could be it. That could be. See, that's why it's not just me here. There you go. So they're walking through the woods, and unfortunately for them, Soldier Boy realizes just a hair second too late. He trips a tripwire, whatever. Anyway, talk about booms. Boom. So they get blown up real good, but not that bad, except when Butcher opens his eyes, he's face to face with Mindstorm, and they were warned by Soldier Boy early. Don't look in his eyes. If I'm not mistaken, I think there's something very similar to that with a DC villain. There's a character, I think, whose name is Simon, P-S-I-M-O-N. I think has basically the same exact abilities as what Mindstorm seems to be able to do. And I think I could be wrong, but I think initially it always relied, if he looks you in the eye, he's in and you're whatever. But I could be wrong about that.
That was great the way that they indicated that he used his power just with that pupil dilation. Mm-hmm. But what an interesting way to write in a character's power to match mental illness. I thought that was really creative, but also it's not just like, oh, it's his own mental illness. That's the power, is that he can give mental illness to other people.
Interesting. I hadn't thought of it that way.
That's pretty scary.
I was trying to determine if, because Homelander is the only that we, as far as we know, again, correct me if I'm wrong, I might be wrong about this. I get a little foggy on the details occasionally because, you know, age. He's the one who's a soup since birth, right?
Yes, because everybody else was having to
administer. Then they might administer as children, like Annie was, but, you know, because. So, like, the thing with Mindstorm, I was curious to figure out was which precedes the other. Was he bipolar to begin with, and then when he was injected with the compound V, I guess, and whatever age that happened at, his mental illness, as you said, is what kind of, you know, in mixture with this drug that's why he has the power that he has? Or is it the other way around? This ability led to him being bipolar? I don't know. It's an interest. I mean, there may be research on this somewhere about Mindstorm.
Well, and I think that you're onto something with that too, because if you look at so many of our other soups, their powers kind of, Their powers have some sort of mirroring to their personality type.
Yes, right.
You know, or their moral fiber or what have you. I mean, even down to like Huey, like he can warp, he can run away. Yes. You know, like everybody's got something that kind of matches them. So I would say that this was likely who he was, and that the power was just brought up because that's who he was.
Okay. And I do think that's a very good way to look at it, that a lot of their powers seem to be analogous to whatever their life situations might have been or the way they were the personality wise, would either be like what you just said about Huey and the whole teleportation thing, or, you know, you could say A-Train probably wanted to get the hell out of the area where he lived, and, you know, of course he can run fast, you know, whatever. I'm not sure about the deep. That's a little weird one.
He's just a creepy ass perv. That's it.
but what happens as a result of what Mindstorm does is that Butcher is trapped in essentially an endless nightmare. I think they might say it's a nightmare loop. Although I feel like I've seen that somewhere else before. Very recently, in fact. Wait till we get to it. There's going to be a part of this episode where I swear to you, these are notes I wrote 24 hours or 36 hours ago, and it was so funny when something that we both watched earlier today, it came up, and I was like going, oh, that's really weird. We'll wait till we get there. But, you know, we'll something to get people anticipated, or you anticipated. People don't care. They're like, get on with it. Now, of course, Huey wants to try to help him, but Soldier Boy don't give a fuck. He just wants to move on. But it's interesting to talk about what Butcher is going through, because he's going through these memories and things that happened when he was younger with his brother Lenny when they were kids. Yeah. And this has been hinted at before when we saw him encounter his father in another episode, John Noble, awesome cast, and see John Noble.
Yes.
Dad. I was kind of hoping we'd see him again, quite frankly. But apparently they had a very abusive and violent dad. We even see a scene of him being beaten, by his dad here. So he's frozen in this situation. Meanwhile, Huey and Soldier Boy are pressing forward. I love that there's a part where Huey's got some, you know what? Maybe it's because of the temporary V. He's thinking Huey's got some balls on. Because I don't know if I'd be asking Soldier Boy about, like, you know, about all the weed he's been smoking, and, you know, and maybe dropping the whole post-traumatic stress disorder thing. Because he's like, I don't have post-traumatic stress disorder. And I'm kind of like, well.
I think that Huey is just getting real fucking sick and tired of these soups, you know, having one face in the public and just being royal pieces of shit. Yes. You know, there's nothing about them that stands behind what everyone's told they are. And I think he's pretty sick of it.
Right. And it's interesting because I think that's absolutely true. And yet he's taking the V.
And yet he's doing it.
And yet he's doing it. Which it's, you know, it's basically, it'll be like me like yelling at someone for smoking. And then I sneak off and smoke a cigarette myself or something.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because you're, and as this is going on, especially when you're dealing with like a super, no pun intended, a super alpha like Soldier Boy, you know, the dude's actually mocking him for caring about Butcher, which, you know, he's like, I don't know. I mean, Huey cares about it like up to a point, you know, but he does stand up to Soldier Boy here. And he even challenges him on like the storming Normandy story, and he gets punched. He gets punched in the jaw, and, you know, for it.
Yeah, that's great. And I think he, like you said, he's taking this. You know, he's taking this, and he's becoming one of them. You know, it's sort of like you have these people you always kind of put on a pedestal, but once you kind of become part of them, that pedestal becomes smaller, and then you start seeing this level playing field, and you're going to get a lot mouthier, and your opinions are going to be a little bit louder, and the clearer picture you have about those people that were on a pedestal, I mean, as you know, most people that are on a pedestal come crashing down at some point.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And I'm also assuming that it's because Huey's on the V now is why he can take a punch like this.
He'd been like halfway through those woods.
I think his jawline would have been obliterated or something.
Yeah.
So while that's happening, we also slip back into Butcher's memories, and now he's like 19. I believe, see a counter telling us it's 1989. Where there's that scene where he's meeting with the headmaster? Mm-hmm. Now, is the headmaster implying what I think he's implying? which is what leads to Butcher beating the crap out of him.
Maybe I think there's a little under. Yeah, I think there's a little bit there in an underline.
Yeah, that was the take I was getting from it. But of course, he actually accidentally hits his brother when his brother comes into the room, and they end up going out with their really awful dad later. I guess they're in some diner or something. And I didn't write anything down about it, but I remember there's a line that Dad uses that later on Butcher uses, which is one of those, oh, God damn it, Butcher. But we'll have a few. We'll get there. Well, I'm going to get there pretty shortly, actually. So anyway, Huey and Soldier Boy, they're still on the hunt for a Mind Star here. And that's where they're on the road. When they come upon the road, they come upon the priest and the nun.
What a great scene.
So, okay. Did you think they were going to be what they turned out to be? Or did you think Soldier Boy was just insane?
No, once Soldier Boy said, you know, like, no, you can't trust these guys, I knew it was going to play into the favor of our entertainment. I knew instantly.
Yes, I have to agree. And when the nun goes bonkers, it's pretty. it's like, oh, so they did that on the show. Okay, all right. So anyway, they get past those two and they get to a barn. And for some reason, I'm assuming it just to set off any kind of alarms. There's chimes everywhere. But once they're inside the barn, I guess Huey does spark Mindstorm. He teleports them away. He teleports them to where they left Butcher. Which means, of course, they both end up naked there. I love that they keep explaining it. It's like, no, here, I have clothes. Here, you know, here. That's his first concern. Because it's like, wait, did you take me out the woods to take me from behind? But anyway, he's pleading with him to wake Butcher up. And that he'll make a deal with him. He'll teleport him far away, get away from Soldier Boy, whatever. And the guy... Mindstorm, because he already can see what kind of person Butcher is by when he made this link to him. He already knows he's kind of a piece of shit.
Yeah.
And I think Huey kind of acknowledges that, but he's family.
He's my piece of shit.
And that does, and that also, by the way, that is a theme of this episode. It's interesting, just talking during the Umbrella Academy, the first five episodes, there's one episode which is clearly, the theme is all about moms. This episode of The Boys, there's a strong family theme running throughout the whole thing that keeps popping up and people referencing that and why they care about people. And it's always about people who aren't their actual family because everyone's actual family is pretty damn awful, it seems.
Yep.
So in Butcher's brain, the nightmare memory is continuing. We get to the point where he's leaving home. I think he's joining the army because he's referencing the barracks and whatever.
Yeah.
But what's important here is that he's abandoning his pleading brother. He's abandoning him to his abusive dad. And the adult Butcher, our Butcher, is there in the memory. And, of course, it's kind of the classic, you know, they can't see or hear you. At least right now they can't. And he's pleading with himself, his younger self, not to leave his brother here. Because he knows this is like the big bad decision that he made. And I think we already kind of know what happens. I think that was already kind of either said or hinted at before. Yeah. And then once the nightmare continues, that's when the others, and then in this case, his younger brother, acknowledges his presence. He acknowledges that the adult Butcher is there. And you know, while he's talking to him, like, what's going to happen? My only question during the scene was like, are they going to show it? They're not going to show it, are they? And they didn't. They did the gunshot and spatter, which is still pretty brutal. I think this episode did have a warning ahead of time.
Yes, it did. Yep.
For several things, including suicide. Oh, by the way, not to bring up something silly when we're talking about probably one of the most serious moments of this episode. Do you realize that in our whole silly podcast about Herogasm, which for some reason didn't get that many listens, very strange. I don't think we ever mentioned the opening thing, the opening warning before that, did we?
I'm not sure that we did. We read the Twitter warning that was out beforehand.
Oh, maybe that.
But we didn't read. We didn't talk about the opening that they actually showed on the episode.
Okay. Because it's funny because I like me and someone else who actually listens to the podcast without knowing, we both took pictures of it and posted them. And so I just think it's funny if I didn't end up mentioning. Anyway, it's rather horrible. His brother obviously kills himself. And we know this is something that's, you know, as damaging as being abused by his dad had been all those years. The guilt and taking and feeling responsible for the loss of his brother, I think, hits him 10 times worse.
I think there's a really, there's the really obvious thing that we're looking at in the comparison where he sometimes, like when we got that flash, you know, when Huey was taking the V, you know, when we got that little flash where we saw his brother.
Yep.
So there's obviously that is being shown. But then also, you know, when he uses his dad's words to push his little brother away, it is very similar to what he does to Ryan in the beginning of the season to push Ryan away.
Right. Those who ignore history are doomed to repeat it, and he seems to repeat his own history consistently, and because he doesn't learn. And we'll get there in a second. Actually, I don't want to step on my own thought here. But it is what makes Butcher is the tragic character on the show, because Butcher does not learn, but Butcher does wake up. But before Huey can teleport Mindstorm away, Mindstorm gets a knife in him.
Oh my god.
And Huey gets a much bigger punch this time. He gets knocked, you know, not a mile away, but several yards away. And then you have this little scene between Soldier Boy and Mindstorm, pretty much just before, you know, Soldier Boy's gonna fuck beat the crap and kill him. He wants to know who was behind the betrayal. You know, behind Noir, who at Vought was responsible for it. You know, I think we all know this. We don't get to hear what's said. But later we do get to see his reaction afterwards, because he pretty much smashes Mindstorm's head in repeatedly with his shield. I thought they were going to go with the classic decapitation, although I feel like I've seen that before. Actually, they did it on the horrible Falcon and the Winter Soldier TV show, so I'm glad they didn't do that. But later on, and again, we're seeing these parallels. You see, I think it's when they're back at the Legends house. You see, Soldier Boy is just processing whatever it is that Mindstorm told him at that point. And he's like reeling from that. And we see Butcher, and he's still reeling from that whole nightmare he went through, the memories of his past and how they've formed the kind of horrible person he is today. Now, at this point, I'm just going to pause this story, and here's where I'm going to like interject or inject one of the Annie scenes, because we'll be talking more about her later, because she's going to encounter everybody else apparently this whole episode. But I feel we need to pop this in here before a certain phone call to Butcher, because earlier in the episode, Annie had snuck into Corporation? Is it Vought International? What is the name of the company? Do we know? I just keep forgetting what it is.
I don't know if it's international or court. It just...
That wouldn't be international. That sounds stupid. Or is it like Vought Industries, like Stark Industries?
Industries. Like, I'm going to go with Industries, but I'm going to Google that for us because I feel like that's important for us to have.
Yeah, it's pretty pathetic that I keep forgetting what it is. And I've never written it down, apparently. So she goes there because she goes there to swipe some Compound V, you know, the permanent stuff for Kimiko. And while she's there, she comes across some research. And by that, I mean she comes across a legal pad, which has a whole lot of stuff written on it. And if you pause the screen, you're realizing it's talking about things like, you know, accelerated decay in the cerebral cortex in a short amount of time, in 3 to 5 days and whatever. It looks like it's really bad stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, a little rough. So, I do have that, by the way. It is Vought International, formerly Vought American.
Oh, okay. All right. It is international. I'm so glad I just said it couldn't be international. I'm so stupid. All right. So how long will it take me to edit that part out? Anyway, so Butcher does get a call from Annie because she's been trying to get Huey on the phone. She wants to tell Huey and maybe Butcher too, since he's also taking it, about the extreme danger they're in taking that temporary V, because it kind of turns out 3 to 5 doses are gonna kill you. It's not good. So here's the thing. Huey returns. This is the point in the story, after everything we've seen with the memories and the nightmare and his reaction to it and everything. This is where, oh, Butcher could actually be a good person. Butcher can be redeemed. He's had little moments here or there, but he doesn't.
No, he doesn't.
Doesn't.
He looked like he was going to for about half a second.
Yeah. Learn nothing from his vision.
Nope.
Not, in
Nope.
fact, he doesn't just not tell Huey. He in fact says they need to go get some more V.
Yeah, he is what we call the double down personality.
Yes. Oh my God. If it yeah. If he if, I'm surprised they called it the team the boys because it should be named Double Down because it's what he does.
Ooh.
Forget payback. Double down. Watch him. Someone's gonna say, there actually was a team in the boys' universe called Double Down. I didn't know. Leave me alone. I don't know. Anyway, so I mean that kind of forms that whole storyline, and which although we and there is one more thing, of course, we'll get to that shortly. But as far as Butcher is concerned, and like I said, it's just I love getting the whole flashback story via the nightmares. I love. Oh, I'm glad that and glad you mentioned it. Oh, there that now we know who that kid was when he saw it was his younger brother, which I think we kind of suspected that, but we probably didn't say it. But then again, there's something I suspected in this episode and even before this, which I didn't say, so I can't take credit for it. So I'm so mad at myself. You can guess what that is too. But it's frustrating because Butcher has the storyline has really centered more around him than in the previous 2 seasons. And when you're centering around an ultimately tragic character, it's kind of, I mean, it makes for great storytelling. I'll give you that because a lot
Right.
of, hello, Walter White, but, but it's ultimately, so it's disappointing. If you when you're invested in the character, like, no, come on, please, dude, no, you've let us down again. Kind of way the way Annie feels about Huey, probably.
Yeah, it's probably very similar.
So, for a somewhat more peaceful change of pace, let's switch over to Frenchie and Kimiko. Well, maybe we'll pour in a little bit of mother's milk in there too for a little bit of violence. And like I said, that bumblebee Annie, she'll be showing up in here soon as well. So Frenchie and Kimiko, they show up at Mother's Milk and Annie's place, wherever the hell they're hanging out, presumably to help deal with Butcher. And that's where we see. And I guess for this entire episode, Frenchie is high. They keep making references to that. So is he high because he just loaded himself up on drugs because he's trying to get over all the pain of being tortured? I'm guessing that is that why he's so high? I don't know. I guess that's why. So later, Frenchie and MM, they're trying to figure out what is the gas that those Ivans were using when they knocked out Soldier Boy. They also realize they're both kind of a mess. I mean, Frenchie's a mess because, he's badly bruised and he's high on whatever narcotics he's taking. And we see all the issues that Mother's Milk has already are really coming into bloom right now. And, which it's interesting to see that he's got a form of an OCD that gets progressively more, has more of a presence and gets progressively worse the more stress he's under. That's interesting. I'm not saying it's not common. I just thought that was interesting that because all his little nervous habits or rituals and then whatever just start becoming that much worse because of what he's going through. Does it manifest when he's trying to put out his cigarette? Is that where he sees it? Where he's kind of he keeps putting squishing
it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, stirring it around in the ashtray.
So we have this nice little scene between Kimiko and Annie. I love the fact we find out it's Kimiko's first drink.
Of course.
By the way, Annie, I mentioned about the balls that Huey has. Annie's got bigger balls than me because ain't no way I'm taking a swig of any whiskey like that. Oh my God. I just imagine I'd be puking out my eyeballs seeing that. I don't know why, but I'm really enjoying Annie this season. I don't know what it is. I'm just really liking her a lot this season.
Yeah, she's unburdening herself from, her public expectations.
Yeah.
So we're getting more of who she really is.
And I love that you have this bonding. There's also in a show that's called The Boys that we're dealing with, the two central female characters on the show, much more so than, say, Queen Maeve or Ashley. They're more side characters. These are the two that are more in the forefront of everything. And Annie is kind of like, not dismissive. She doesn't understand why Kimiko would want her powers back. Why wouldn't she want, that's to be normal again. But I love that Kimiko already has a message all ready for Annie to read. She'd already prepared it for her, written out the whole thing. Do we hear it here or do we hear it later, what the message was? I feel like we hear about what she actually wrote later.
We see the very beginning of the message here, but we don't actually get the context of the message until later.
Right. Got it. So, Mother's Milk leaves after he sees that Todd has posted a pic of him and his daughter at a Homelander rally. We'll get to that rally later. So we know that OCD is probably going to turn into something a lot worse shortly, and which is what happens. Mother's Milk does go to his house and tells his daughter to go inside, and he basically punches out Todd, who's like a big Homelander fan, who's basically drinking all the Kool-Aid. He's basically your typical Fox News viewer.
Yeah, I mean, I think at this point, there's the time to mince words on this is pretty much over because they couldn't be more directly parallel of each other.
There is no subtlety. There is
no, not at all. But it's a tough one because on one hand, you can't blame him because he knows who this man is. Right. He knows how awful this man is and that this man is a villain. But here he is like punching out, his daughter's favorite stepdad right in front of her. So now who looks like the villain?
Did you notice there was that moment when he's done it? And he turns around, and his daughter's on the porch, and she's seen it.
Mm-hmm.
And his daughter grabs her arm.
Yep, I saw that too.
And so something had happened then, I'm assuming, at one point.
Yeah, yeah. It maybe might be part of why isn't really directly involved with her.
Yeah. My first thought, for some reason, it reminded me of... It's going to be a weird connection. Remind me of The Shining. There's a little bit in The Shining where we discover that in Jack's past, he had once gotten upset at his son, Danny, who had met, thrown all his papers around, whatever. I won't do the impression, although I really want to. And apparently he grabs his arm and yanks him away, and he actually broke his son's arm. And that was the thing that was always, he felt guilty about, his wife tortured him about it, it was part of the whole drinking thing, blah, blah, blah,
yep.
blah, blah. So I'm wondering if something along those lines is what happened here, where he accidentally got upset and grabbed her arm and something happened, and that's what that was signaling to us. So I'm curious if that's what it is. Again, I mentioned family is a big theme here. Here we go. This is all about family as well. And the damage it's caused. So we can go back to French and Kim, and that's when Annie is with them, and that's where she has that line about how she's going to save Huey whether he wants me to or not. So it's like, oh, so we're going to repeat that whole thing. All right, we'll go with that. What else is she going to say? But when she leaves, Frenchie administers the compound to Kimiko. And we can see already that her powers are back and she's healing. I did not make a note of it. I cannot believe I didn't make a note of it. Okay, I'm just going to go by my memory here. Okay, so it's not in my notes, but it was distinctly in my memory. I can't believe I didn't write it down. There's the scene where they're dancing. French.
Okay.
It's a sweet, and it's very nice because we know they're a couple. We're they're the ones we're rooting for, you know. And they're dancing to "Dream a Little Dream." And when I heard it, I went, you know, and I wasn't upset about it. I wasn't angry at all, but I did have the thought: if I was compiling a list of like the top 10 most used songs I've seen on any TV show and movie. Mm-hmm. Dream a Little Dream is really high up there.
Yep, it is. And I actually thought the same thing. I'm glad you made a little note about it because most recently I remembered, I don't know, it's one of the Netflix shows just last year. It was a reoccurring song for one of the characters.
Right. And it's, I swear. Where do you? I swear. If I'm lying, I may this podcast end this month. Maybe it'll end this month. I had the thought like, oh, but at least it's being used in a nice way because whenever I think of people using "Dream a Little Dream," they always kind of use it for it's very haunting, and so you kind of make it can be used in a somewhat more creepy fashion, whatever.
Yeah.
So then I fast forward 24 hours. And I don't want to spoil anything, but who cares? It's just a song. That's not much of a spoiler, is it? Won't say anything about what's going on. But a certain show that you and I both finished watching, literally like a half an hour before we recorded this evening or this morning, you and I were both watching a show that came back with its final two episodes on July 1st. We both finished it. I guess now it's an hour ago, whatever. And then there's a part where that song is used, and it's used a lot, and it's used in a kind of a creepy way. And I went, oh, that's just, I swore I had a note about that. I was like, but anyway.
And it's, and you can see why it is easily used for such things. Cause you get that song with a little, you know, with the little skip, mm-hmm. you know, on the record player, and it is creepy as fuck. So it's going to be an obvious choice.
It was funny. I remember because one of the lines in that song where they mention sycamore tree, right? Mm-hmm. And I think in Twin Peaks, there is a song. It's not "Dream a Little Dream," but it's something that's referencing sycamore trees that always kind of sticks in my head for some reason. And I kind of connect the two as a result. And of course, if it's in Twin Peaks, it's automatically kind of creepy and haunting because that's just the nature of Twin Peaks. So, I don't know why I went on that tangent. So, let's go from wacky music. Well, it's not really wacky, but good music. But to something the most gloriously loopy and maybe the most fascinating thing in this entire episode. It's everything having to do with black noir. I mean, wow. So, black noir. We meet black noir. He goes, I don't know if this is his lair or hideout. He's obviously been here before. It looks like it's an old arcade or a Chuck E. Cheese or whatever the heck it might be. And we see this mural or whatever you want to call it. All these like little, you know, cartoon animals, whatever. And then they come alive. They're animated. And now we know what he was doodling at the meeting of the seven in that episode earlier this season. And they talk. It's amazing. The main one who's talking to him is Buster Beaver.
Yeah, I love Buster.
Oh, by the way, if you really want to get dark with this show, the name is Buster Beaver. If you really think about that,
yeah.
If you just break up those syllables just a little bit, yeah, that's a cartoon character in a porn movie.
But, that has got some. That's got some Seth Rogen, a dash of Seth Rogen on it, I think.
Yeah, what are you gonna do with it? I'm gonna Buster Beaver. Anyway. Also, I love that the Buster refers to Black Noir as Irving.
Yes. That's
interesting. Oh, and by the way, it's not just Irving, because I always have the closed captioning on because, you know, I'm an old man who can't hear. It's Irving spelled E-A-R-V-I-N-G.
Yep.
Which is even more interesting. So they're trying to console Black Noir about what he's going through as far as his concerns and fears about Soldier Boy and what happened with Payback and the betrayal and everything. So what they do, naturally, Beaver and all the Tiny Toons here, they put on a show for Black Noir. One that is clearly telling the story of just the entire brutal rift between Black Noir and Soldier Boy. So as they're recreating this whole thing, we see how it started. Oh, by the way, they also, when they have all the animated characters as now they've taken on like superhero personas, whether they were going for this, and I'm sure this is from the comics. I didn't look this up, but I it had to be from the comics. I could totally see them doing this in the comic books. Part of me wondered, there was a strip comic book they had, that DC had back in the 80s. Because, you know, DC was just like Marvel and all the others, just your standard superhero, whatever. But then they had a comic that lasted a little while called Captain Carrot and His Amazing Zoo Crew. And each one was an animal. They were like, that was a takeoff on a different superhero. You know?
That is an amazing title and makes me want to start a band. Just to have the name.
And when I saw the way they were dressed up here, I went, oh, they totally look like Captain Carrot and the Amazing Zoo Crew. So one of the and also one of the great things about this is when they are playing the parts of different characters, like say Crimson Countess, for example.
Yeah.
The Fox is playing Crimson Countess.
Yep.
But it's the voice of Laurie Holden.
Yes.
And you know, a few other ones, they got the voices of the actual people, whoever they played, to do the voice of the character. The most significant one is, what creature is it? It's a meek rat. It's a meek rat. Yeah. when they get to, what happened in Nicaragua and how we see that Stan Edgar is the one who spearheaded the betrayal of Soldier Boy. By the way, didn't we all kind of know that? I mean, is this in any way a surprise? It's more of a surprise that to actually hear Giancarlo Esposito's voice coming out of a meek rat.
Yeah. I'd agree. That's definitely more of the surprise here. Yeah, it was, again, you know, occasionally the boys will throw in a shocking move and surprise, but they don't have a lot of secrets that they hold on to. They usually steer you in a way where you can catch on pretty quick.
Right. Now, during this scene between the animated Black Noir, and I guess it's a sheep, so it's like Black Sheep Noir. You know, of course, because it makes perfect sense. Talking to the meek rat, Stan Edgar. He makes references to the lab creating someone or something. Something that we know that one day will be Homelander. Now, I'm going to tell you right now. I'm going to put a little check here. Something that I kind of thought of earlier, and I don't think I ever said it in a podcast, so I bet on me. But once this scene happens, I went, oh, okay. Oh, that's going to be an interesting revelation. Oh, wow. Ooh, wow. Because I felt that's, if you didn't suspect it before, right there, it was like, oh, wait a minute. That, at least that was the moment for me. The other, the other shocking moment, then I'll let you get in on all this, is when the whole fight breaks down between the cartoon characters. And we also, hey, it's another revelation. We didn't know it was Soldier Boy who messed up Nora's face.
Yeah.
We just assumed it was like from bombs going off and everything exploding. It was we didn't know it was from him.
Right, because we saw all the chaos and all of the explosions and stuff, and then it just panned over to him. So, and I am so glad to see that they were able to show us in just as violent of way as they could possibly animate. It was very detailed and graphic.
Oh, yeah, it was quite graphic. It was graphic to the point where, wait a minute, but Black Noir survived, because the way Black Sheep Noir is getting beaten here,
not I mean, there survive. Was like half a brain stem hanging out, I'm pretty sure.
And I kept telling myself, okay, I think it's because they're cartoon characters, they're going to be okay. They can do this whole thing and then be okay.
Yeah, they got a little bounce back.
Which also reminds me of that other show I watched and did a podcast about this week, where a character responding to their issues of their near death experiences, they said, "Oh, I always just thought of myself as a cartoon character, and you know, I can get smashed on it with a hammer, and then I'll be fine." I don't know why I brought that up. Anyway, before we get to the last big one, which will also feature an appearance by Little Miss Starlight, there's a few folks we haven't talked about yet. You know, they only got a few minutes each in the episode. We should just knock them off right now. One of them was, we only spent a couple of minutes each, but they were nice, significant minutes, I thought. The first being the Deep.
Yes.
So,
spicing up his love life.
Yeah.
I'm with his wife on this one. Like, I can't do this.
Nope. I'm out. Can't do this. And I love that this moron doesn't. We've been watching. We know this is her. She's the guiding force here because he's a boob.
Yep, you know? He sure is.
And he's like, "You think I need you?" Like, yeah, you're gonna crash and burn. We're just gonna do a countdown into the next scene without her assistance. How quickly you screw up. But yeah, he wants to bring a partner into their relationship because the sex is so vanilla.
this guy.
I just I love that the squid's name is Ambrosia.
Yeah. Yep. It's appropriate.
Or as I wrote, Ambrosia the dick sucking squid.
She deserves her own bumper sticker.
I love in the midst of all this how and her reacting to it all, whatever, he still will correct her, saying, "Not a fish, she's a mollusk."
She's a mollusk.
So that was that was something.
Yeah, it was.
So I'm curious to see where that. I mean, if. Is this the last we'll see of Cassandra, and now it'll just be him, and then he'll, you know, he won't have her there to guide him anymore? Are they actually, we talked about this in another episode. Did we establish that they are actually married or not?
Yeah, well, they were in the cult together.
They were in the cult together, but I just didn't know if they were actually.
And he has referred to her as his wife, so okay. I guess we're just to assume that they are, in fact, married, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So she's going to take him for all he's worth, but I don't know if he's actually worth anything. Interesting. So you have the Deep on one side, and then you have A-Train.
Yeah.
A-Train, who last we saw was, you know, his heart was had given out after he pretty much spread Blue Hawk across, you know, across about a few miles of road. He wakes up in a hospital. Mm-hmm. And as bonkers loony as Ashley was in that opening of the this episode, she talk about doubling down. I couldn't decide is she being more crazy or vindictive or smug, or maybe it's just you put it all in a blender and you get that's what you get how you get Ashley at this point. So What did you make of this? This and his reaction to it, and what there's something he says, because he still seems to be in saying no to her even after she leaves the room. So I'm kind of curious about what your take was on all this.
I don't know. I just like for the first time ever, in his character's history of the show, I actually had some feelings for him. Because I mean, it's not like he did things the right way, but he finally did something. I mean, he did it in a really bad way, but he did something. And something meant something to him enough to do something. And it's going to be erased. And he has to pretend. It's like he has to pretend he didn't do anything. And now they're back in with the whole, you know, like him having his heart and all of this. It's like they just found another shackle, honestly, to trap him with.
See, what's interesting is whether or not he'll go along with it. Because, however, now that he has this heart, even though it's Blue Hawk's heart, that means he doesn't have this the weakness that had plagued him, that was really preventing him from running,
From running,
is
yep.
no longer an issue. And he's back to being the soup that he was. Which means no one can really lay a hand on him. So that made me, because I, for example, I've always said when we talk about, not me and you, but just when I'm dorking, we talk about superheroes out there. What superhero I must want to be? Either you're 5 years old or 50 years old, apparently, you have these conversations. And one of the top vote getters, and this isn't because of the recent TV show over the last 7 years, which has really gone downhill, whatever. But just in general, the Flash is always one of the top choices. Because the Flash, because based on the speed abilities that the Flash has, he can pretty much do anything. And, you know, what he's, you know, you don't need to be Superman to be able to do so much stuff. That means the A-Train should be somewhat, he might not be as fast as the Flash, but he's at least on that level. So I'm kind of curious if he might feel a bit more kind of like fuck you, I'm A-Train, you know, whatever.
Yeah, like he might be a little bit more emboldened and
Right. He like does he ha like it'll be interesting to see. I mean, I still think he, because, well, again, if he's the Flash, Homelander's still like Superman, so he still would be worried about him and be scared of him. But
right.
he might be at least a bit more emboldened about it, you know, just run the fuck away from him, because he's got at least be faster. So,
Pull a Black Noir and just get the fuck out.
but I love that they did this whole thing. I mean, this is some crazy Faustian Twilight Zone, you know, or whatever. It's like, oh, we're going to give you the heart of the racist guy that you wanted dead, you know. Just,
You know, it had a lot of we keep going back to Stephen King today. It had some Misery feel to it, you know, to me, where it's like, you know, oh, you silly head. You know, there's just a lot of that, like, we fixed you up and, you know, you can't run now. Like, you can run, but it's still overall the theme is like, don't you run. So yeah, we'll see where it goes.
Absolutely. Only so we have one episode to go. I gotta do something with it. So let's wrap up this episode with the biggest bad of them all, which would be Homelander. And of course, I did choreograph things this way because that'll take us right to the ending of the episode. But early in the episode, we get that Homelander Queen Maeve scene. One of my favorite scenes in the episode, easily.
And it, truth be told, with current day events, a little more painful than it would have been 3 or 4 weeks ago, I'll be
Yes,
honest.
I was wondering if you were going to go there, because if you weren't, I was going to hint at it myself. So yeah, that I couldn't help but have that thought myself when he mentions the harvesting of her eggs. I went, oof, ooh, boy.
There was some ouch for sure.
I was thrilled that she mentioned that the first thing that what kind of kicks off that part of the conversation, that she notices the concealer. She notices he's bruised, because as I mentioned in the previous episode,
Then he'd
I
never
don't think
been.
he's been bruised before. What would have bruised him? That's interesting. And I think the scene kind of ends, even though she's in the horrible plight, really not much of any hope for her right now, but it's still one of the happiest days of her life because he's scared. And that is true. That's the way we're seeing it. Like, oh, he's actually scared. For, you know, because, you know, they almost got him at the end of the 11th episode. So later, there's a campaign rally for that Bob Singer fellow, and Homelander kind of loses it a bit. He's going on about Starlight,
Oh my God.
and again, not to get into events of the last few years, but you couldn't help but think, yeah, someone at a campaign rally who kind
Yeah.
of doesn't just go off script, but just kind of starts ranting about someone.
Where have I seen this before?
I can't believe he didn't start saying, lock her up, lock her up.
Yeah.
You know, that's
In China.
in China. I mean, he, and the fact is, he almost lasers a dude in the crowd when he momentarily thinks it's that Soldier Boy is there. So he's kind of, so we're seeing the progressive Homeland is kind of losing it, although he was always kind of crazy to begin with. But how he, of course, he finds a way to calm himself down because, you know, there, I guess. You know, the campaign rally is right by a barn, and there's a
Yeah, just
cow.
random milk cows. You know how it
And
is.
he's got, well, we know he's got that thing for milk.
Yep.
You'd think he'd be better friends than mother's milk, considering it's.
I know, you know, you'd think.
There's got to be a connection there. I'm just waiting for it. But so he milks a cow, and then he's drinking straight from the bucket, and that's where Newman shows up. Newman, finally.
Newman.
And he goes right into choke mode with her. Just. But she does say something about the fact that their situation between she refers to it as kind of a transactional relationship. You know, basically, you know, she'll, you know, basically, you know, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. You know, I'll do you a favor, you do me a favor. And she's got a little piece of paper, a little document. It's an address. It's an address in hey, it's an address in Minnesota. So I'm not gonna read the address on the podcast. No one cares what the fucking address is. I'm gonna assume. I mean, what else could it be? The address has got to be where Ryan is being hidden, right? That's got to be it.
That, yeah, that's what I'm
I mean, I
thinking. I
can't think of
mean,
any. I
that's.
mean, he even goes, "Well, where did you get this?" Or whatever. But what else would it? What other address would have any meaning for him that he would care about? I
None.
can't think of anything. So. A little later on at apparently Vought International. See, now I know. That's when Homelander runs into Annie. This is when Annie was leaving when she swiped the compound V and such. And you get that little back and forth with and the threats, you know, that he's laying on her. And basically the only thing that's keeping him from killing her is how popular she is. But that doesn't mean Huey's off the hook and so on and so forth. Because he wants her to kind
Right.
of recant everything and blah, blah, blah. And of course, Annie being the social media creature she is, she was apparently recording this on her iPhone or smartphone, whatever kind of phone it is, from the get-go and streaming it out to her 190 million plus. And I love, like, oh, we were just running lines.
Silly, silly.
So it's great. So so later when we see Homelander, he's clearly on the phone with Ashley, and they're clearly talking about the fallout from what had happened. And of course, you know, he's putting on her to fix this, but he gets interrupted by a different call, and the call is apparently coming from Soldier Boy. And this is in my notes. I wrote, knew it, knew it, knew it, knew it, knew because it was one of those things I was talking about a podcast or two ago. I was trying to reconcile the timelines of when Soldier Boy was and when Homelander was. And I realized, and obviously the whole him coming about at some point after and how many years after, it's like, oh, of course, it makes perfect sense. And like I said, when you saw the cartoons acting out what happened in Nicaragua,
Yep.
well, clearly, if they had to get genetic material from someone, that's who they would have gotten it from. I didn't know that I didn't know he actually did it the old-fashioned way with his, where he basically jerked off into a cup or something. I didn't know.
Right.
I thought they just like took something from him.
I mean, you'd think with all the technology they would have, yeah, but no, they just went for.
So that changes things.
Simplicity. Yeah, and now let me ask you with this. Do you think this, like, how do you think this is going to hit Homelander? Because as we just saw in, you know, our last episode, he was really coming into his own of truly having the idea that he was a god and was more than human and wasn't human. And now he just got news like, newsflash, buddy, you're human. You know, like, you're not really a god. You might have come from somebody else who had power, you know, but again, it's not like he was born with the power.
I hadn't really thought of it that way. That makes a lot of sense, though. It's hard to say because he's also someone who, when he learned of his origins, he wasn't happy about them.
Yeah.
And the fact that now, again, this is an episode where there's a family theme throughout it.
Going back to those dads.
This is the first semblance that he actually has family.
Yep.
What does that mean to him compared to the way it would mean to these other people? In previous seasons, I would say this is something he craves. He's been looking for. Even his relationship with women mm-hmm. always seemed to take on more of a mother aspect, especially yes. season one. I mean, Jesus. but I hadn't thought of the whole man versus God thing. That's interesting. I hadn't thought of it that way. But it's curious because if he had known he was created in a lab, but he also must know that they used genetic material to make him because he's not a robot.
Right. Yeah, he's an organic creature. So, yeah. Also, that would mean that...
yes, I know where you're going.
Soldier Boy has a grandson.
Oh, okay.
So, that's another tie in there. But then there's also the idea that this whole thing is just a crock of shit, too.
Possibly. Now, this is where I probably should mention what was... See, this I do know. About the comic books. And I think I mentioned when we covered season two, it's been a long time, it's like 18,000 years ago when we did that.
It was.
One of the major changes they did in season two with a certain character was Stormfront. Stormfront in the comics was originally a dude.
Right.
And there was no romantic, at least, relationship between Stormfront and Homelander. And in the comics, at a certain point, we discover that Stormfront is actually Homelander's father, or the DNA was taken from Stormfront and helped create the Homelander. So they've made a major switch. They switched it to Soldier Boy. So that's interesting that they did that. Okay.
Yep.
And now, whether they did anything as far as, well, let's take something from a female, whatever, and in fact, if they had taken it from Stormfront, which means he was dating his mom. which I could actually see them doing that on the show.
It actually seems entirely perfect.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure you were banging your mom. In fact, now I feel like they are going to do that. I almost think they are going to do that.
Yeah,
it'll be like Liberty, but she was, but that's Stormfront.
Yeah, and I think we might have actually talked about that, and I think we both agreed at that point in time as well that, yeah, that seems right.
That's about right. So, it was one of those things where I think some folks probably were suspecting this throughout the season. It was one of those kind of thoughts I kind of had, but didn't really give much thought to. But this episode made me go, oh, of course it is. That makes so much sense now. But it really makes you wonder, okay, if at the end of the penultimate episode, Soldier Boy and Homelander are having this conversation where it turns out they think they may actually have a father-son relationship, what does that mean as far as, okay, is there a truce now? Will he not, will it be okay? Or will it be the classic, well, you know, fathers and sons always kill each other,
Yeah, especially if there's like some sort of magical force involved.
So, yes, exactly. So it does raise the stakes in a different way for the final episode, and kind of makes you go, God, I wish this was a 10 episode season. Why it's always 8.
Yeah. I feel like one episode is like, how are we gonna get there? How far are we gonna go?
Yeah. Hey, maybe they'll decide to take a page from a certain other show's book. Like, final episode. Let's make it 2 hours and 20 minutes long. Let's basically make it the length of like 3.5 episodes.
Yeah. We got a little story to get through. Now, before we finish here, I would like to bring up one thing that we never really talked about this season. It is not anything that's massive to any sort of plot at this point, but we've mentioned it other seasons, and that is the reoccurring Almond Joy bar. Can we touch on that? Because we have basically ignored its appearance, and we've seen it multiple times, and we got the animated, the little animated reenactment, the I'm allergic to almonds conversation.
I thought it was peanuts. Was it a peanut allergy that he had?
Almonds.
Was almonds?
And because remember in the first season or two, like, it was just like Almond Joy. Like, it's just, Almond Joy has got some great advertising time. It's always Almond Joy. And a couple of episodes ago, when the Deep got put in charge, you know, got his new job position, you know, and Starlight's in there, you know, with the one director that's left, you know, sharing the Almond Joy candy bar. And then, like I said, in the animated thing, you know, he's sitting there, Vought's is sitting there, you know, he's eating these almonds, and Noir's like, why are you doing that? You know, I'm allergic to them, or something. Like, he yells at him because he's allergic to the almonds.
You are absolutely right. I'm actually reading about it now.
Yeah, it's just wanted to, you know, give it its credit that it's still there, and it's still a theme that's there, and some way, somehow, that something's going to happen.
So I love that I'm online and I'm reading different things involving Almond Joy and then different Reddits. Like, does anyone else hate the blatant Almond Joy product placement? Or another one like, first Fresca, now Almond Joy. You know, it's over and over. Like, oh yeah, oh, the allergy. Oh, okay. Right. Oh. And apparently Huey, in one episode, refers to Almond Joy as one of the worst candy bars. So I don't know how she feels. I don't know how Almond Joy feels about it. It's very interesting. I don't. Here's the thing. It's funny. Almond Joy is definitely one of those love it or hate it candy bars. Most people I know do not care for it. I don't.
Oh, dude, it's on the top of my list.
I don't.
I love it.
I wouldn't go out of my way to buy an Almond Joy, but back in the days when I would have Halloween candy, I loved getting an Almond Joy. Mounds, I thought, was a waste, but, you know.
For sure.
But my only issue with Almond Joy was, like, I thought they were too cheap at the almonds. I was like, really? You're giving me, you put like three almonds in each thing, whatever, four, whatever the fuck it is. Lame.
Like one almond per portion.
Yeah, I was like, what is this? What am I in prison?
What's next, moldy bread?
Gruel?
What is this gruel? Remove it from my sights.
But, you know, but people who knock is like, come on, there are, first of all, if I'm having a conversation and they like, you know, that I would say, well, what candy bars do you like? And the minute they say Milky Way, it's like, okay, so you already need to leave. No.
Need to go.
No. Or like, or back in the day, I don't even know if it's around anymore. Like, they'll say like, oh, what about Three Musketeers? Like, oh, so you only like the most boring candy bar.
I am like the old people candy fanatic. I mean, give me some Blackjack gum, you know, some Good and Plenty, some Almond Joy. I mean, a Payday is pretty good.
Payday's not bad at all.
You know? Yeah.
I mean, I like classic. I like my Reese's.
Yeah.
I'm a little confused about what happened to the Mars bar. Mars bar is like what used to be one of the most perfect candies out there, and then it kind of disappeared.
Just disappeared.
And then, you know, I go to the supermarket and they've got like Mars bars that are imported from the UK. Like, ooh, a Mars bar. And you get it. It's like, this ain't no Mars bar. It's a lie. It's a lie. It's
this like, is not correct.
It's like a Milky Way in a Mars bar wrapper. That would be like if I bought a Reese's and I bit into it and it was like, I don't know, cat shit. No, it's
sorcery.
It's wrong.
European sorcery.
Wrong. I'll bring back the Whatchamacallit. Come on, Whatchamacallit.
Oh, yeah. That was pretty solid, too.
There's the candies I liked as a kid, but there are the ones that if you ate too, it didn't take that many to be like, okay, now I'm sick. And there were other candies that felt like you could eat endlessly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I, you know, my exposure a lot, you know, than buying the occasional candy bar, you know, cause I was a fairly thin kid for, you know, my childhood because I grew up poor and whatever. So candy was a rarity. But one of my favorite things to do when I was growing up was when you go to the local supermarket, your local Walgreens or whatever. Yeah, I was one of the kids that was like going down the candy aisle and figuring out a way to rip open one of the six packs of candy and trying to swipe a few. Like, yeah. I stole so much Great Bubble Yum, you wouldn't believe it. Anyway.
It's a good choice. It's a good choice. If you're gonna take anything, that's a good one.
Oh, you can get the big five packs. You get the whole thing up your. If you're wearing a coat, you can get the whole thing up your sleeve. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, and you know, I like that you went for the big name too. You know, like nothing was more irritating as a kid is like you're with your friend and then you get out of the grocery store and they're like, hey, look what I got. And it's like the generic something. Like you're stealing generic. What the hell is wrong with you?
Oh, that makes no sense. That'd be like stealing cookies and you decide to sell Hydrox instead of Oreos.
Yeah,
like,
right?
No. Exactly. And meanwhile, of course, if it was me, because I'm the minority on this one. I was like, wait a minute, was there a thing of Nutter Butters next to it? That's what you steal, dude. Fucking Oreos. I was in school all the time. Nutter Butters are like, you know, specialty cookies. But there were those candies that you, but I just remember there was something really, like, what, like, oh, two Whatchamacallits, I'm done.
Yeah, toast. <Yeah. laughs>
But like Hershey's Kisses, I could eat so many of them. And then when they started putting almonds in it, and by the way, I'm already an adult at this point, but I'm still stealing. Couldn't stop eating them.
It's
the almonds. I love the almonds. I always liked almonds better than peanuts and candy bars. So I didn't like Snickers. Yeah. I like Mars bars. Snickers are fine. They're fine. I just never was a big fan.
Yeah, there's nothing. There's nothing seriously wrong with the Snickers. They're now, okay. You get one of those almond Snickers, it's better.
Oh yeah, that one. Like, oh my god. Oh, there's a hazelnut one now. Oh my god.
Yeah. See, we live in such a vast world of candy choices, but yet the classics are gone.
I can't imagine when I'm 60 something pounds overweight. what an unexpected topic to finish.
Yeah, almond joys, guys.
Almond joys. If I hadn't made a picture for the podcast, maybe I'd put up a picture of almond joys. I got to put it in the description somewhere now. Anyway.
Yeah, the graphic designer part of my head is already trying to put together an Almond Joy with the boys logo on it.
Because joy and boy, so you're close, mm-hmm. Very close, very nice. I see a t-shirt.
Yep, that's kind of what I'm thinking.
All right. Anyway, so if you enjoyed this conversation about candy bars and you enjoyed this podcast, you might enjoy hanging out at our Facebook page. We don't really talk about candy very much there, although I am known as Esoteric Candy. Anyway, the Facebook page is the Serious TV Drama Podcast page. Like the page, you can join the conversation about TV shows such as The Boys or Better Call Saul or Stranger Things or whatever the hell else you want to talk about. Where can you find us? You're already listening to us. Why am I telling you this? But you can find, if you want to tell other people, they can find us in places like Spotify and Amazon Music and Apple Podcasts. Oh, by the way, I haven't said this in probably a couple of years. Apple Podcasts, where you can subscribe, rate, and review us. Anyway.
Hey, never gotta put it in there somewhere.
Oh, wait till you hear the last thing I ever bring up. Better still, you can just go to STVDPodbean. Wait, I fucked that up. STVDPodcast. Wow. I should write things down. STVDPodcast.podbean. www.thefilmsnob.com, where you can listen to all 351 of our podcasts. At least 17 of them are good. You can follow us on Instagram. Our handle there is Serious TV Drama, all is one word. Better still, you can follow us on Twitter. Well, not better, but almost the same. On Twitter, which our handle there, why did I say handle, Tim? At STVD Podcast, STVD as in Serious TV Drama. Here's the one I'm going to add in, even though no one will ever do it. Not that they follow us on any of these things anyway. I've finally figured out how to get into our email account.
Yes! Eureka!
Oh my, it's only been 9 years. Sorry, that's not true. 8 years. 8 years. It's season 9, but it's not. It's 8 years. If for some strange reason you'd like to email us, and I don't know why you would, you could just say something on the Facebook page or tweet us. But if for some reason you want to share something in an email, we do have an email address. Apparently, I have it hooked up to like a T Fury account. So I looked at it like, wow, there's like 8 years of ads for T-shirts here and nothing else. And like comments that were made on the podcast like 5 years ago or so. Actually, no, one from a few years ago. And they're all like raving about Brian. Weird. Anyway, the email address, if you ever want to give it a shot, not that I'm ever going to remember to look at it, but you never know. It's stvdpodcast@gmail.com. The podcast has a better email address than I do. It's very strange. Yeah. I know. I still have an Earthlink account. I'm very weird. Anyway. Wow. We will be back in a week's time for the finale of The Boys. The title of that one's going to be The Instant White Hot Wild.
Woohoo.
Now, after that, odds are all four of the usual STVD folks here, or some combination there and on a week-to-week basis, we will be taking the best choice road possible to cover the final 6 weeks and episodes of Better Call Saul. I should also mention, once again, Brian and I will be covering those final two episodes of the I don't know if it was aforementioned or aforehinted at Stranger Things. At this rate, probably, maybe Jamie, if you want to join us, feel free. But we're probably holding off until mid-month to do that. It's just it's a matter of schedules and when we have time.
It's a crazy time.
Yeah, July. Who knew? Oh yeah, I did, and I just kind of put it out of my mind. Before we even get to the next Boys episode later this week, the week of July 4th and such, I believe Kimber will be rejoining me for a discussion of the final 5 Umbrella Academy episodes.
That'll be fun.
I will try. Maybe I'm misremembering it moments after we finish recording. I feel like I went a little recap heavy on it. So I will attempt to tone down my level of recapping this time around. We'll see. That's my intention. It really should be my intention with all the podcasts that we do. I don't know why. It's my biggest flaw. I fall into the recap thing where I get too wrapped up in every fucking detail to retell whatever. But then, because he said you talk too much in the podcast. It's like, what? It's like, no, it's your podcast. Like, then now I feel sensitive. See, he already said he's not watching The Boys now, so he'll never hear this. I'm safe. Whatever.
I'm in the clean.
Anyway, that should be it for the next few weeks. And like I said, July. There's just too much good stuff right now. But
there's an abundance.
I mean, I'm so behind on so many different shows that I actually care. I have posted weekly, not just one, weekly threads for shows I've never watched, but I intend to watch because I'm posting a thread for them every week. Like, you know, yeah. Under the Banner of Heaven, I saw like 40 minutes of the first episode. That's it.
Yeah.
What was the one? The one that was on HBO with the cops. We built this city. Wow. We own this city. I've not watched a minute of it. These are the guys that did The Wire. Right now, I would love to podcast about The Old Man or Murders and Only Murders in the Building came back. It's still great.
Yes, I haven't even started that yet.
Yep. Although I'm kind of like, I don't know how I feel about Amy Schumer anymore, so I don't know if I like the fact that she was on it or not. Or For All Mankind. There's just too much. I can't. Anyway, that's enough. Jamie. This is what happens when we're recording at 2 a.m.
Yeah, it happens. It happens occasionally, but, it's late. You know, crickets or no, there was some important topics hit tonight. I feel like we've done our job.
I am more pleased right now with how I think this podcast came out than the last couple I recorded. So I will attribute that to you. So there.
Well, thank you very much. I'll take it.
Yeah, you should. Take it. No, but that got really weird really quick.
All right. God bless 1 a.m.
Yes. So thank you guys out there for listening. Thank Jamie. Thank you for joining. And I will say goodnight to everybody. I know I didn't warn you ahead of time to say something, so you don't have to if you don't want to.
Hey, I appreciate, but I still wish everybody a good morning and, you know, because that's where we're at right now. We have reached the AM. So good morning, everyone.
And morning is what we're talking about because we just finished watching that other show. So it's MOURNING. Spoilers. No, we didn't tell you who it was, but, you know, it's exactly who you kind of think. Anyway, good night, everybody. See you next week.